Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. It's new paradigms for a new world. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. The radio show's page is where we put the podcasts. I still like to call them archives, okay? That's just me, okay? That's a quirk I have. I'm working on it. We're also on SoundCloud and iTunes. And at least for the time being, we're on Facebook, although I'm starting to question the logic of being on Facebook because I haven't seen a whole lot of movement there. But there's a reason for that. It's because I haven't had a lot of time to play with Facebook. I have to hire someone. I have to put together a team, and I've got to pay them, which means I've got to have an income that would support all of that. And you probably spend half your time or three quarters of your time on Facebook, checking out to see what Uncle Fred is doing and your sis and your brother and so forth. And I just don't have that kind of time. And I love my parents and my brother and sisters a whole lot, but not that much that I want to follow them and see what they had for dinner and so forth. But be that as it may, we're on Facebook, Twitter. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of this stuff, too, as we continue to bring to you, I think, very interesting, very entertaining, enlightening guests, and one who is returning to our broadcast here on the program, Christy Whitman. I want to thank you for joining us here on the program, because we're going to talk about something that is very exciting, both to you as well as to me, quantum success. You and your life are unlimited. But that's not what the institutions tell us. They say we have to rely on them and that we can only go so far and we can only do so much. And that is such a load of hooey, isn't it?
Hi, Richard. Hi, everybody. I love you. You're awesome. Yeah. So where do you want to start?
Well, let's start at the beginning. First, you're born into this world with a fairly clean slate, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And at that point, if it were possible to have the cognitive abilities, the speech abilities, literally at that moment, would you say that that individual, male or female, and no matter what the color is or where they were born, that they might very well have that attitude, that perspective that hasn't been, shall we say, tarnished or tainted by the material world in which you and I live?
Absolutely. So that child, how do you explain it? You know, we come in with there's a whole discussion of souls and all that kind of stuff we're not going to get into today, but from a baby perspective, you know, we pick up the energy and the vibration and everything that's going on in the womb of the mother. So it starts there.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know this until several years ago. And I was like, what? My mom would get, I guess I was on her last nerve, and she would shake. And so the doctor, I can't imagine how that would happen. Right. So the doctor gave her Valium.
Oh.
And I'm like, wait, whoa. You took Valium while you were pregnant with me? And she's like, yeah, so I don't know what would have been better, having her all like, you know, or being on Valium. Well, but still, everybody has a different birth story, birth experience, you know, and it's all little imprints that happen.
Yeah. There are those who, you know, they make the joke. So you were dropped on a head a number of times as a child. That explains an awful lot. I know that there are some people who just, they go nuts overboard with, from the moment of conception, with making sure that they give that individual all of the positive input with classical music and the right things that are said around them, and no drama, trauma, anger and frustration, fear and anxiety and sadness from other people around them, including from the mother, on and on. And I'm going, wait a minute, then you're basically setting this kid behind because the kid isn't even prepared for the real world, which, you know, that's another juxtaposition that we have to deal with, too. Because then we have to deal with that whole aspect of, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, kid. And, you know, you better, make hay while you can and take what you can while you can get it and so on and so forth. And then we start learning and growing, and I started my evolutionary process more consciously at the age of 17, beginning to understand that, A, my life had meaning, and that my life's purpose, in a general sense, was to serve. And that it didn't matter whether I got anything in return, my life's purpose didn't change. And I know that a lot of people, they, especially in the metaphysical and spiritual communities, they think that, well, if I just work really hard and I do my life's purpose and I do what I love to do, that the money will come and the success will come and the houses and the cars and the people and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, that might happen, but, you know, as the universal law is, there's always an exchange. That you can't escape it. I mean, it's one of those things like water flowing, okay? You can't stop it. It's going. Oh. Yeah, exactly. So you can't escape the exchange. But if that's your focus, then you need to shift your focus away from that, because I was watching a program, actually, interestingly enough, it's one of these programs on television and comedies called The Good Place. And they were dealing with this issue of moral perspectives, I think it was, and ethics, and whether you do good to get a return or you do good because it's the right thing to do. And so yes. I'm wondering, and again, we're getting there, folks, towards quantum success, towards giving people those tools they need to be successful. But there seem to be a lot of roadblocks in our way given to us by our parents, our schools, our churches, all of the other institutions that we've been a part of. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, there's, you know, we've all been imprinted, and no one has come unscathed from, you know, childhood. And I had a mentor one time tell me that, you know, it's really up to us as adults to then go heal the wounds of our childhood. And in doing so, you grow and you learn, and you become more of a meaning-filled, I guess, purpose-filled person when you do that. Because, you know, I've been joking with my husband since I had my babies that, okay, you got the first year of therapy for that comment or that, you know. I'm like, I think I'm up to age 10 now, so in 10 years of therapy, so they'll be all right. But, you know, but we also teach them what I teach, you know, and we parent like we parent, that everything is cause and effect, because it is. We are the ones that are at the effect of the things that we experience in our lives and the relationships that we have, the relationships with everything, from with money, with success, with whatever success means to somebody. It means different things to everybody. It's the meaning that we give things. And so it's interesting to start paying more attention and be more mindful of who am I and how, what do I prefer? What do I want? And what do I want to experience? And, you know, how do I want to feel? And, you know, just even with the intention, I had a woman that I've been coaching with, she said, I just put out the intention that you told me that today, no matter what happens, I'm just going to feel good. And just with having that mindset and that commitment to feeling good, you could see throughout the day, there's many times that we could go, oh, that sucks. And we can go into complaining, or we can go into judging or criticizing. But that doesn't make us feel good. So we have to stop the things that actually make us feel good and start doing those things and choose to look at, you know, something that is a positive aspect of our lives. And it's in those moments of choosing, you know, am I staying deliberate in feeling good and feeling connected or feeling whatever we want to feel, versus letting myself be reactive to everyone or anything? Because we can be very ping-pongy and be very reactive. You know, the outer stimulus affects how we feel, but it's so much easier to live where you are stable inside of yourself emotionally. You decide how you feel and you stick with that feeling, and whatever happens around you, you're observing instead of, you know, being part of the drama of it.
Yeah, yeah. And there is a certain element to it does get a little complicated in a way, and yet it's also very, very simple. And I've been trying my darndest to keep it that way. I want to share something real quick. I've shared this on one other program with some friends of mine, and we were talking about this. Having to do with, and let me see if I can bring this wonderful little, I don't want the Let's see if this is right here. Okay. And this ties into what we're starting to discuss here, because when we talk here on this program about choices, I use the analogy of us walking every day down this path, down this roadside, but there's a very thick fog. Every day there's this thick fog, but we've been taught over the years that if we just kind of keep our head down and follow that white line, which is the shoulder of the road, stay close to that and walk to the end of the road where if it's a school, it's work, whatever, we'll be fine. We follow that home and we're good, and that's fine. Then one day we're walking along that path, that road, following that shoulder, and the fog lifts. And we see off to one side a fork in the road. We never knew that it was there before. And now we have a choice. Do we go that direction or do we go a different direction? And so unless we know that there are other choices, how do we know? We can't make them. And that's why I'm a very strong advocate of education. But there's a gentleman who I have had on the program. He's a futuristic visionary, since passed away. He was, I think, 100 years old. I interviewed him when he was 94 and I think 99. And his name is Jacques Fresco. And he challenges the assumption of free will and elucidates how this cherished notion has no basis. And he asks the viewers, because there's a video that goes along with this, to consider how a cause is projected as independent agency, and questions how we could ever act out of anything free of the influence of our background. And he makes the case that belief in free will and individuality is a tool to, these are his words, to maintain establishments and social conditions which could otherwise undergo significant modifications. And when I take a look at that, it goes to my question to you earlier about the blocks that keep us from being successful, let alone going beyond that to quantum success that you talk about. What is your thought about that in that context? Is he right? You know, is he wrong, or half and half?
There's aspects of it that I agree with, because in the aspect of, I'm going to go, woo, okay, I'm going to do woo woo for a minute. When we're talking about energy, right? Energy flow, everything is energy at the basis of everything. We know this now, science, quantum physics, it's they found it. It's ever all energy, where you feel, whether we are aware of it or not, it's energy. Mm-hmm. Whether we get it as a concept and live from it, it's all energy. And we are the energy towers that go out into the universe. We're sending out signals all day, every day, with our thoughts, our perspectives, our feelings, but most importantly, the vortexes of energy that are inside of us that have been blocked. So something happens, we're a kid, we get a brand new bike, we're super excited, we put it behind, you know, daddy's truck, and he runs over it, and now, you know, you don't have your bike, and like, things are taken away from you. Whatever life experiences we had, that was a client experience. Whatever experiences show up that have blocked us, or, you know, you're running in the house to tell daddy about the bike, and you're just in this space of love. It's the emotion of love or excitement or fun or trust that gets bushwhacked. Mm-hmm. And we get an imprint that happens. And so what happens is then energy can't be just dissolved. It still spins, it moves, it has to. So that energy gets inside the body as an energetic block. And what happens is it starts to create a vortex where thoughts set up and beliefs then become evident. And that's how you start living your life from those vortexes, those blocks. And from a very high level of what I do with clients is I help them remove those blocks so that energy can flow, so that you're now free to try a different pathway. When you release that block, I love what you said, Richard. It was such a beautiful analogy, and I could so see the visual of that. And it's exactly true. It's like, imagine that those blocks are like the fog. You take away those blocks, you take away the energy that's behind those blocks, and now you can see differently. There's more room for a different perspective, different awareness, different choices, different options, different experiences, and that we get to actually choose those from a place of being free. But the free will comes, you know, we are, one of the universal laws is the law of polarity. we are both physical and metaphysical. You know, I write about this in Quantum Success, is that, you know, everything that we are, however age we are, whether we're male or female, or we were born rich or we were born poor, it doesn't matter. Whether every experience that we've had from the moment before birth until the moment that we're breathing and listening into this moment with each other, there's been imprints. There's been, you know, we were completely imprinted and bound and that sort of thing. So we create from that place. But all of that is only 4% of who we really are. The other 96% is free-flowing energy that moves through us, and we can either block it or we can allow it. So that's the free will.
Mm. I know that as we move forward in time, and hopefully we are evolving, the question comes up on occasion on the program, and I ask this question of you. Where do you see us evolving to? What is our next level? I was almost going to throw in. And when do you think that will happen? no, but where?
let me check my crystal ball over here.
Please, forget the time thing. But no, where do you see us moving to next?
I'm going to come from the perspective of where my intentions are, where I live my life, the people I surround myself with, the perspective that I've grown into is that all around me are opportunities for light, for awareness, for mindfulness, for really getting into the place of understanding who we really are and the powers that we have by the way we think and the way that we feel, and being able to take more personal responsibility for that. That's the world that I'm seeing around me right now, and that's the world and the communities that I've created around myself. So, you know, you could look at this since the, you know, I don't know, 60s, 70s, 50s, there's always been something going on in politics. There's always been something going on with some kind of war or, yeah, you know, recession or something. I mean, if you look at the Times magazine covers from all the different decades, you would see that it's the same stuff. It's the same human problems. We can't get stuck in the humanness of the problems. We have to know that we're more than just these meat suits. And, you know, that we are capable of releasing energy of thought patterns and beliefs and things that don't serve us and make us feel limited and really allow our true nature to flow through us.
You know, over the last 200 years, the same stories have been told over and over again about the end times and Armageddon and all these kinds of things. And I worked for 15 years for a Christian station, and those were the stories that were being told. Now, granted, at the time, I was in my 20s and early 30s as I was going through that 15-year period, and I was getting really bored with that story. I'm going, oh, come on. So I kid you not. I mean, you'd think, wait a minute. If you'd lived 2,000 years, maybe you'd be getting bored, but 15 years, really? And I actually went up to someone, you know, after one of the programs or, I don't know, during a downtime, what have you, or chatting, and I said, Is there something that I could do? Is there some part I could play to bring about the ending of this narrative that's been told for 2,000 years so we can move on to a new story? Because this is boring. This is really, I don't even, you know, it's like if it was a TV series, I wouldn't be watching it. And when you say what you say about, for example, looking at Time magazine over the last 50, 60 years, as far as the covers, and it's the same old, and then I ask the question of people, I said, okay, you know, man is not really doing a great job of taking care of the planet, taking care of his own, you know, I mean, it's almost along the lines of, that one phrase, that I've heard, especially in politics, but even in religious circles. How, you know, oh yeah, they eat their young, they eat their own, you know, they devour them, you know, and it's like we're not growing as a species when you start taking a look at those particular institutions, right? And so I ask, okay, does man really deserve to continue as a species? And I'm not talking about annihilating the species, stopping it, but not annihilating it. Thinking, oh my God, we haven't moved, you know, it's kind of like a kid in school. who's not getting, say, the English coursework. Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny, but we're going to have to hold you back a year. And he still doesn't get it. We're going to have to hold you back again and again and again. And he's just not getting it because they keep teaching him the same old way. What's your perspective on that? I'm assuming you're pretty optimistic.
Well, yeah, you know, there was a really beautiful blog that was sent to me the other day from Project Heaven on Earth blog. And they were talking about coming back to life and coming back to that space where, you know, to practices to really reconnect our lives and our world together. And the third part on there was just that it says that know that only the whole can repair itself. You can't fix the world, but you can take part in its self-healing. And healing wounded relationships within yourself and between you and others is integral to the healing of our world. And so that's why it's, you know, the work that I do is like we have to heal ourselves. If we have anger inside of ourselves, we're going to see anger in the world. If everybody starts to heal themselves of the stuck emotions and really starts to become aware that we create our life experience and work with the universal laws, it's going to be a much more peaceful place where we're not going to feel like, you know, it needs to be annihilated. My friend Martin Root, he talks about creating, you know, heaven on earth. And we, each one of us has a choice in doing that because heaven's not some place up there and hell's not some place down there. You know, it's while we're here and we can even live from a place of heaven on earth or we could live in hell, mm-hmm. but most people will choose hell.
Yeah. Because it's strangely enough, because it's comfortable. It's not because they like it, but because
it's what they know.
It's what they know. It brings to mind a book I read at this religious station. It was made mandatory reading. And no, it wasn't the Bible. It was a book called Who Moved the Cheese?
Yes, that's a great book.
I read the book cover to cover. It was okay. Went to my boss and I said, read it. I don't have a problem with the cheese being moved. Just tell me that it's being moved. You know, which obviously means I have a problem with the cheese being moved because people aren't telling me that they're moving it. So we have difficulty with change.
Yes.
There's no question about it. And yet we constantly hear that old cliche, true, but it's old and it's a cliche, that change is the only constant in the universe. And then when I think about the universe, all right, I project my mind's eye out into the solar system, out into the galaxies and beyond. I take a look, for example, at things that are moving about and things that are colliding into one another, or one thing collides into another, whether it's a comet or a meteorite that hits a planet or a star or goes into a sun or whatever the case might be. And some might say, oh, my God, look at the chaos in the universe. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's not chaos. That's just what is. And I've struggled for the last few years with this whole concept of duality. And I understand the concept. But in the ancient wisdom teachings, it talks about where we come from and where we're going to, the one. But we're here in this dualistic world. And then someone kind of enlightened me a little bit. And they said, well, yeah. One perspective is it's dualistic, light and dark, left and right. Or the other perspective, as you just elucidated about the universe, is it's just what is. It's just the way it is. It's neither left or right, up or down, light or dark. It's just, that's just the way that it is. And it's all part of whatever the grand scheme of things is or the big picture. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it reminds me of there's a story, I wish I knew the whole thing, but there was an ancient story about a man that used to say, you know, good luck, bad luck, who's to say? And one time there was, you know, his son, they were playing a game and he broke his leg and he had to wear crutches. And the man just said, good luck, bad luck, who's to say? And all of a sudden, you know, people went to war and they had to come and the villagers, the people were coming to get the kids in the village that were young enough to go to war. And this man's son had a broken leg, so they didn't take him to war. And he said, good luck, bad luck, who's to say? So it's one of those things. I mean, it's the perspective. We could freak ourselves out thinking about it from like a cosmic perspective, and you know what's going on out there. We're living on a spinning rock.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Be afraid. Be very afraid. No. I mean, it's just enjoy it. It's you know. It's it. We spend so much of our time worrying about stuff that just isn't important. Yeah. And you know, it's like, what would it be like to just have the type of life you want to have in your career, massive success, not just massive success, but quantum success, where it's like, you know, it's exponential, it's not linear, okay. You know, be able to have and live the kind of life that you want, not struggling at all with money or having to worry about money. The biggest thing, whenever I talk to people, whenever I consult with people, whenever I coach people, whatever it is, the biggest issue most people have is with money. And I get it. It's a human condition. We all need it. And there's a lot, I talk about Christian, you know, there's a lot of programming from the church about money. Mm-hmm. I mean, from our parents about money. We are so imprinted with this thing called money, but money is just green energy. Mm-hmm. Money, you know, what I love about money is money doesn't have an opinion. Money's not like, you know, I really like Richard, so I'm going to go over to him. And, you know, I don't really care for Christy that much, so I'm just going to leave her. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to make her scrape by. You know, now I dislike her so much, I'm just going to put her in debt. I mean, money has no, we are the one, we're the master over money. Instead of letting master us, mm-hmm. have power over us, we're the ones with the power. We're the ones with the energy. And what we think about it and our relationship and the energy that we carry about it, what we've been told, the meaning behind it, it all is a part in what we send out as we think of a bill coming in or, you know, expanding our business or, you know, whatever it has to do with this thing called money. And we're giving money our power when it's us that has the power to either attract or repel things from us or to us.
When we come back for the break, we are going to dive into those processes that will assist us in becoming successful. I have a philosophical perspective that I will share when we come back, and we're going to get Christy's perspective as well. I encourage you to go to ChristyWhitman.com. That is the website. We will be linked to her website as well. I think also, and very apropos, Christy, it would also be a good idea for us to discuss the 7-Day Vice Freedom Challenge.
Oh, yes. Fun.
Let's talk about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, along with Christy Whitman. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan with Christy Whitman. ChristyWhitman.com is the website, and we're going to talk about quantum success and what that means and how we get it and make it last and so forth. I have to say, one of the things, Christy, from my perspective is, and I learned this years ago, and it's interesting, I know I picked it up from someone, but I can't remember who exactly. And it wasn't from the general manager of the Christian radio station, because he was of the mindset of the law of diminishing returns, which for those of you who don't know is you don't want to put out any more than you're going to expect to get back, because you just never know what's going to happen. Case in point, we had a programmer who had this box full of these 5-inch reels of sermons and so forth, and he wanted to combine them into make them 1 hour pieces and so forth. And this was a thing that he was going to broadcast on the station. And we're talking about 75 or 100 of these reels. And so I said, sure, you know, I mean, I'll charge a small fee and da da da. And I produced them all up. And of course, he'd signed a contract for like 13 weeks, canceled in 3. And I had completed all of these reels.
Wow.
And of course, you know, my boss's attitude was, we wasted time, you know, and we wasted our time and energy and so forth and resources to produce up all that stuff. And I thought, no, we really didn't, because the guy, for whatever the reason was that he left with a good taste in his mouth, because he was treated well by that group of people. And they did something for him that nobody else, you know, was willing to do. And whether, you know, he was honest about it or not, didn't matter. And that's what brought about, I suppose, my philosophy that when we're talking about success, Christy, it is not my success that we're talking about. It's yours. And I don't mean you specifically, Christy, although we certainly could incorporate that. You, the listener, you, plural. If I make you successful, guess what happens? I become successful. But I'm not doing that for you so that it makes me successful. I'm doing it for you because I want you. I had programmers come to me, Christy, who wanted to produce these cassette messages. Now, I may not have agreed with their philosophy. It didn't matter. And people said, you're undercutting yourself financially. You should be charging them more. I said, but they can't afford more. And if they can't afford more and I can't produce their item, then nobody's going to hear their message and be able to decide for themselves whether or not they want to listen to more or not. And that's always been my goal. So I wanted to make sure that their message got out clean and clear without distraction so people could make up their own minds. I don't see that happening today in our world. It doesn't matter. I mean, I've seen YouTube videos of some of my programmers years ago when I first started doing this specific program. And I even told one of them, I said, can I critique your video? And they said, sure. I said, it's terrible. I said, you don't use your monitor as your lighting. You don't use your condenser mic built into the laptop as your microphone. You didn't even look behind you to see what is in the camera on the wall or behind you. I don't know if there was a bed and clothes and what have you. If your message is that important, then you need to put some more thought into it. To which she responded, thank you. And it turns out I am going to be spending X number of dollars to actually have these videos redone. And I said, well, congratulations. That's fantastic. But I see that people just want to get the message out, but they don't really care about the context sometimes, regardless of whether it's on social media or on the internet or, you know, whatever the case might be. But getting back to success, what does success mean to you? You did talk about one element, money, but from your experience and everything that you've gone through to become this wonderful success coach that you talk about, especially on your website, what does that mean to you?
To me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah. Success for me means that my life is working and it feels good. That, you know, that's what, and so then I look at, well, what does that mean in all aspects? So for me, success isn't this general thing like money or, you know, this or this title or whatever. It's having relationship success in my relationship with my husband. We're communicating well. We're laughing. You know, we get in like a little ego, whatever, but we laugh about it. We get over it easily. It's working. The energy in the house is beautiful. The boys are doing well and they're thriving. And, you know, we all have fun together. That's an aspect of success for me. You know, having money in the bank to choose the places that I want to go and have adventures with and have family vacations, for example, not because of what it's going to cost, but because I have it based on the fact that that's where I want to go. That's what I want to experience. That's what we decided as a family we want to have, right? So being able to have that sense of freedom is success for me. Being able to take my parents and help them out with their finances, you know, their monthly expenses and things like that. And retiring my dad, that's success for me. So there's lots of aspects. I mean, being there, you know, as I could look at soul success, you know, as a soul, each one of us has a soul that's with us from lifetime to lifetime, depending on what you believe, but it's just part of our consciousness and our soul is always in that space of love, is always in that space of compassion. And that's what the soul knows, that it doesn't know criticism and mistakes. And it's always just looking for ways it can express love. So whenever I'm in a space of really coming from my soul and coming from love and choosing, you know, to look at the best in people and to look at what's right and good instead of what's bad and wrong, I feel like I'm in soul success. So there's different aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. So now let's take it to that next level. What's quantum success?
Ah, Quantum success is knowing about and applying the universal laws, because, you know, when you start to understand that everything is energy, when you start to learn about law of attraction, that you are literally bringing into your life what you are vibrating out. It's like a boomerang. And when you can look at your life and know that whatever circumstance or situation has, you know, is your current reality, it can be changed. And that there's flow and that there's possibility, and that, you know, if you have an, oh, this is so awesome. When you have an idea, knowing that that idea came from something bigger than yourself, and that if that idea came, there's pure potentiality for it to manifest in the world. And there's so many more options and possibilities than me in my limited mind, even as expanded and aware as I am and educated, in my limited mind, there's so much more for me to experience and possibilities. And, you know, so it's aligning with the bigger, broader part of me that's always in pure potentiality and possibilities. That's quantum success.
Talk to me about the law of attraction. You've already talked about one law of polarity, but talk to me about the law of attraction and its relationship to one's life's purpose.
Life purpose is it's an essence. The feeling of being on purpose is an essence, right? And whenever you are in the field, when I say essence, like, you know, it's a feeling state. So the feeling of freedom, the feeling of purpose, the feeling of joy, the feeling of love. When you are in that space of purpose, you're aligned. And when you are aligned, you take that step, whatever step comes in front of you, whatever you do attract, that is your next step on your purpose. And as long as you're staying aligned with that, your purpose becomes the manifestation of your life. That happened to me. I wrote about that in Quantum Success that, you know, for years I was a pharmaceutical rep and it didn't matter to me. You know, I had sold, I'd been in sales and marketing for years. I had sold liquor and wine and Pepsi. And then I was selling medication. My old aunt, she lived to be like 100 years old. She goes, let me get this straight. You went from alcohol to non-alcohol to drugs. Like at least legal ones. But so I was a pharmaceutical rep. And, you know, for me, it was to be able to have meaning in what I was doing. I just didn't feel like it did. And for me, you know, I felt like I was out of integrity when I was even selling medication. Because if I have a headache, I'd take peppermint oil on my head instead of taking a Tylenol. So, you know, for me, it's just more, I would rather try the natural approach first. And if it doesn't work, then use Western medicine for what it is. But for me to just keep selling medication, it didn't feel like I was on purpose. So I didn't know what that looked like, but I just kept feeling that feeling of purpose inside of myself without knowing how or the what or the form of it. I just kept getting myself in that space of purpose. And then that's when my book downloaded through me. And then I started talking on my contents on my book and people started asking me to coach them. And, you know, that was the beginning of me just keep saying yes and keep letting that energy of purpose follow, you know, flow through me and guide me towards what I really was meant to do. Because there's no question for me that this is what I'm meant to do.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a sidebar. There's, and this just blows me away, and I know that it's gotta make you chuckle too, in a way, maybe even cringe. Some of the advertisements for some of the pharmaceuticals on television, and one of my favorites that I haven't seen in a while. Was for heart disease, some heart condition, okay? And they were talking about how it'll do this and that and the other. And then it started going through the side effects, which I guess now they've got to list, you know, the major side effects it may cause. And I'm listening rather intently, not that I needed it, but I just was curious. And all of a sudden, the very condition that you're taking this medication for is one of the side effects. And I'm sitting here going, really? I'll just skip the medications and stick with the condition, you know. There's another one that just came out.
There's another option though too.
Yes. Richard. And that option?
that option is, you know, Louise Hay years ago, she was the founding mother of this. But, you know, it's that the research that has been done now, how emotions, stuck emotions actually cause the pain, cause the disease. You know, stuck emotions of anger can lead to cancer. You know, there's so much studies and so much research now how, you know, it really is about unresolved things. So when you heal, I have helped people heal migraines that they've had all their lives because of something that bushwhacked them, which we talked about earlier, and they blocked, they cut off. And so now it manifested as, you know, migraines or whatever. And when you get into the emotional release of it and you get out of the energy blocks, then you have energy and life force flowing to those organs and they function as their original nature, which is in pure perfect health, pure perfect alignment, mm-hmm. well-being.
Yeah. Well, I'm learning a lot in that regard, not only in terms of the more metaphysical cures, if you will, for the various diseases that I may have in my body, but I'm also learning, too, about at least the temporary non-RX supports, if you will, for, I mean, the one that just I'm actually using this on my dog, too. She's 16 and a half, and she can't walk. Hind legs don't work, so I have to help her in and out of the house every day. But I'm giving her hemp oil and turmeric in a dropper in a liquid form that seems to help keep her a little calm because she's always been very anxious, very, very, very excited dog. And I don't know if that she – I can't tell that she's really in any pain, but I figure it can't hurt her. And I know turmeric for humans is also good for inflammation if there's an injury, what have you. And I've often found that when an injury goes on too long and the inflammation stays there, the inflammation is now causing the problem. So you need to reduce that compression on that tissue so that the injury can heal much more efficiently. But these are the kinds of things that I'm learning about. But, you know, I wouldn't have the conditions in the first place if, like you say, if I just get over my frustration, my anger, my fear, my this, my that, my the other. And a lot of people think, if I could just get this person out of my life, and it's like that joke about the guy who's been married 7 times and blames every one of the 7 wives for his problems, and you sit there going, excuse me, sir, do you realize the common denominator in all 7 of those marriages was you? Okay?
Yes. Yes. We always got to look inside. You know, it's like Michael Jackson said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Yeah. Well, there was a poem by Tiberius talking about the gods, and they were noticing man was starting to become more self-aware and wanting to raise himself up to godlike status. And they were getting concerned because, my God, we, so to speak, be out of jobs. And so they thought, we need to hide the truth. We need to find a place to hide it so he can't find it. And they thought of every place up on the highest mountain. Nah, he'll climb it. Down in the depths of the sea. Nah, he'll find a way to get there. Out in the solar system. Nah, he'll find vehicles that'll take him here and there. And finally, one of them chimed in after lots of discussion and said, I know where we'll hide it. We'll hide it in his heart. He'll never look there. And that is unfortunately the truth that more people are starting to, but you know, it's that inner life that we're really talking about that helps us to become more successful. I want to talk to you about that as well, but I also want to talk to you before we lose track of time here about the 7-day Vice Freedom Challenge. What is that in reference to the law of polarity?
Well, you know, the vices are something that we use as human beings to help us feel better. And, you know, the thing is that we always reach outside, it seems like, or there's also internal vices. Some people have vices of complaining or, you know, being jealous, being comparative. There's a lot of habits that we do and things that we do to try to make ourselves feel better, right? But there's also things outside, like drinking too much coffee or sugar or alcohol or marijuana or whatever it is, right? Whatever vices we use. There's no judgment on any of them. It's just there's something that the person that is reaching for something because they're wanting to feel a certain way. And they're looking to, they're in more of their pain body than they are in their joy body. And so when we start to unravel and heal some of those things, the vices go away. And so, you know, we need alternatives that learn the alternative things that are good for us that will help us instead of reaching for the things that harm us. Because, you know, we have to remember that everything is vibrational. So even things that we consume and things that we do, like we exercise, you know, it elevates our mood. It makes us feel better. It has a good effect on our bodies. It leads to better health. You know, eating better foods, doing those kind of things, it all has something to do with how we feel and the state inside of ourselves. And the better we feel inside of ourselves and the better our thoughts are and the more we're focused on health and well-being and, you know, being in their original design of perfect health, you know, we make different choices from that place. And so the Vice Freedom is really about taking 7 days to think differently, to reach for something different, and to start feeling different so that you start filling yourself up from the inside out. So it's got meditations and, you know, different guided processes and coaching that I do to help people, because it's usually like, even if it's sugar, caffeine, something, it's always the first 3 days. And people need support in what to do to get it out of their physical body or to just even start the momentum and get going with something new.
I want to talk about your one of your books here, The Art of Having It All. A great Stephen Wright line comes to mind that if you had it all, where would you put it? what does that mean? How much is all? And it actually leads to the paradox in, for example, in capitalism about the, and in this case, in the United States, about the American dream. How much is enough? I mean, you know, how much more can you have kind of thing? And people, they tend to go a little, well, some go way overboard in that regard. But what does that mean initially, having it all?
Well, you know, that's why I wanted to have a very different conversation, because there's a conversation going on about that. Well, you can't have it all. You can have it all, just not at the same time. You know, there's a debate for women. Can women really have it all? But no one ever asked men that. So we have to define what having it all is for ourselves. And what I mean by that is, what would you love? Like, what would you absolutely love and enjoy in each aspect of our lives? Because a lot of times people might have career and money success, but their relationships are horrible. Or they might have beautiful relationships, but they're really struggling financially. Or they might have great relationships and great money, but they just are really unhealthy or really overweight and, you know, don't feel good in their own bodies. So it's really about having what you want in all aspects of your life and thriving in all aspects of your life. And it goes along with the book Quantum Success, because it's really having all of yourself. It's allowing yourself to have it all in the space of feeling the life force that's pulsating through you, the part of you that's beating your heart, the part of you that wakes you up in the morning, the part of you that drifts off to sleep with you, but is always still there with you. It's the life force. It's the divine in us. And having all of that in each of the aspect of our relationships with money or career or other relationships that we have, that's having it all, having the fullness of who we are show up in all aspects of our life and not limiting ourselves.
You use a great word, thrive. What does that mean?
What does it mean to you? What would it mean to somebody else? It's like, it feels good. It's like, oh, this is so much fun. I'm like, you know, it's just, it feels good. Like all aspects, like you're thriving in your relationships because it feels good. There's flow, there's ease, there's no, you know, it's like there's love there. And all the stuff that's not of love, it's not there. And when it does come up, you know how to process it from a very mature, emotionally mature way mm-hmm. and how to communicate. And, you know, so it means different things to different aspects of our lives. We have to define it for ourselves.
Yeah. I've coined a new word. I don't know that it'll ever catch on, but we talk about wanting to move from survival, the consumer producer kind of thing, living from paycheck to paycheck, and so forth, to thrival.
I love it.
I don't know that it'll catch on, but hey.
You know, I love it.
There you go.
As long as it's important if it catches on with you and then you live from a very different space because of it. So that's what matters.
I brought up the issue of one's life purpose and, of course, the law of attraction and obviously in this context of having it all. And it's been, that was a piece that I was told years ago when I was interviewing someone regarding The Secret, having to do with the law of attraction, for those who aren't familiar with it. And if you're not, hey, check it out just the same. But that was one of the pieces they said that was missing, whether they left it out intentionally or otherwise. And that was, yeah, the law of attraction works, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's for it, that it's in your best interest to have it just because you want it. I've jokingly said that the universe, if you badger it long enough, eventually it's fine, here, take it. And, you know, deal with the unintended consequences.
No. Oh, my God. I see parents doing that with their kids, and I'm like, you are literally teaching them the opposite of how the universe works.
Yeah.
When my kids do a temper tantrum, like, or even tried to, I'm like, okay, I completely disengage and walk away from them. Because if they think that they're going to get anything from that place of being spoiled and expecting and, you know, all that space, they have to get into a neutral mood and calm down before I will even acknowledge them.
Yeah.
And because the universe, when you are going, when you're demanding the universe and you're like, you know, throwing temper tantrums, people do it all the time. The universe is like, all right, when you're done, let me know.
Yeah, when you're done, let me know. Well, you know, believe it or not, we have to do that. Our we have a 5.5-year-old, 100-pound plus black King Shepherd. His name is Angus. And most times when he wants to go outside, there's this ring, large ring that's hanging on a chain right next to the doorknob. And of course, where we live, that was the security on that door. You'd put the ring on the door and it would keep the door from being opened. Well, what he does is he goes and hits it with his nose, and it clangs, and he's letting us know he wants to go outside, right?
Right.
Well, in the evenings, normally, I would go out with him and throw tennis balls, and he'd chase them and so forth, and that was our play. But we haven't been able to do that lately, number one, because of my schedule, number two, because of the heat, and we don't want to overstress him. Well, he wants to go, and he wants to play. And if I don't go out with him, he's out there spinning. And I've heard from some trainers, you do not want to let your dog do that because blah, 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 blah. He only does it at a specific time in the evening. And we have gotten to the point now, kind of like what you do with your kids, where we just ignore him. That's what my wife says. Just ignore him and he will, you know, he'll calm down and he'll go away. Or not go away, I shouldn't say that. But he'll settle down. So, you know, your example is well put. And, so I think that it would behoove us to start looking. And the other thing too, you said this within the context of the program before earlier about whatever law it is, polarity or attraction or exchange, as I use that term. When you're in that higher space, when you're in that service space, those laws, they just work. They just do. It's when we
they're always working.
Right.
They just give us more of what we want.
Exactly.
Instead of what we don't. Yeah.
Christy, I want to thank you so much for sharing so much time with us. And unfortunately, we are running out of time here on the program. I encourage people to check out both The Art of Having It All as well as Quantum Success. Go to ChristyWhitman.com to find out more. And if I can, really quickly, I want to ask you three questions, if I might, before we wrap this thing up. And you can keep them as long or short as you like. The first question is, who is Christy Whitman?
I'm a seeker. I'm a woman that is seeking and allowing my best to come through me.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to allow people to live freely and to heal from the binds of the past.
What is your life's purpose?
To serve the light. I'm a light worker. So whatever that looks like in whatever form, that's what I'm here to do.
Christy Whitman is my guest. Again, I thank her for joining us here on the program. ChristyWhitman.com is the website. We will be linked to your website, and we look forward to having you back again, hopefully in studio in the not-too-distant future as well, to talk more about all this wonderful stuff.
I would love that, Richard. Thank you so much.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.